Amen. Thank you so much, Pam and Rachel. And you can be turning to 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll be looking at some other verses tonight as well. And let me say to you that are on the south side of the building, I know the sun's bright on that side. And so if you have to move around a little bit during the service, don't be afraid to do that. I won't think there's anything wrong, except you just need to kind of get out of the sunlight. Amen. And if you would, if you found your place in 1 Peter chapter number 5, it's obvious that Peter, as you read about him in the Gospels and then read his epistles, that there was a lot of growth that took place in his life. And that is, since he became a follower of Jesus Christ, he grew in so many different areas of his life. And not only do you see the difference in his life whenever he denied the Lord, till the day of Pentecost, whenever he is declaring the gospel in such a powerful way, and you see such great growth in his life, and due to the indwelling and empowering work of the Holy Spirit in his life. But one of the areas that we also see a lot of development and growth in his life concerns the enemy. And that is at prior, that is when you read through the Gospels, it looks like that Peter is just oblivious to the fact that that the devil is attacking his life. And it looks like he's just stepping into the snare of the devil, and he is allowing the devil to traffic in his life. And the Lord rebuked him on one occasion directly because of it. And he's just not even, doesn't seem to be aware of how the devil, how the enemy is attacking his life. And then when you fast forward to when he writes the first epistle here, the book of 1 Peter, it's obvious that he's experienced a lot of growth in his life. And he has become much more aware of the attack of the enemy. He even writes to us here in verse number 8 of 1 Peter 5 that the devil is like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. That is, he is like a lion who is walking about, roaming about, sneaking around, trying to find an opportunity to attack. That's why a lion roams around, is because he is seeking for an opportunity to be able to attack. It looks as though that Peter is beginning to wise up in his life and realize that there's a real enemy, and that that enemy really is on the prowl, that he is indeed trying to attack the people of God, and he's trying to attack humanity in general. He is trying to attack every part of the creation of God that he can. I'm talking, of course, about the devil. He's a real enemy, and he really is trying to attack everyone, every person, and every aspect of God's good creation, especially the new creation, those who are believers who've received Christ as the Lord of their life. And that's the reason why when Peter writes here in the book of 1 Peter, he gives us that warning that the devil really is, the enemy is really out to attack us. And if you and I are going to live in victory, that is, if we're going to walk in victory and live a victorious Christian life in light of the enemy who's out to attack us, then there are two big main things that Peter writes to us about. He writes to us about recognizing the attacks of the enemy, and then he writes to us in verse number 9 about resisting the attacks of the enemy. And here's what I've been discovering, and that is that whenever believers grow and mature in their Christian life, not only do we become deeply aware of the presence of God, not only do we learn how to walk with God, but I've discovered that we also become aware of the attacks and the areas of attack that the enemy is working out in our life. We become aware of the battle that we're in, the spiritual warfare that is taking place. When you draw near to God in prayer and begin to walk with Him and experience Him and begin to grow in Him, you begin to experience and become very much aware of the reality of spiritual warfare, and that we have a real enemy, and that he really is attacking the lives of individuals. And even so it is with Peter. Now, if you and I are going to be able to resist the attacks of the enemy and live victorious over the attacks of the enemy, then we must by necessity, first of all, be able to recognize the attacks of the enemy. And that is one of the ways that the devil works, is to try to keep us blind to the reality of who he is and what it is that he is doing. And so you and I need to be aware of that. That is, we need to become aware of the fact that the devil is real. We need to become aware of the fact of who he is and how he operates and how he attacks the lives of individuals. And that's why when Peter was writing here, verse number 8, he said that we need to be sober. That is, it's the idea of being focused as opposed to somebody who is intoxicated, who is not focused. That is, we are focused. And also to be, not only to be sober, but also to be vigilant, which is the idea of being awake and alert. God's people ought to be awake and alert to this roaring lion walking around seeking whom he may devour. And we ought to be focused if we're going to be able to stand against the activity of the enemy. enemy and live a victorious Christian life. We need to be able to recognize, be awake. We need to be alert. That is, we need to be focused and recognizing the attacks of the enemy. And so we began the process in the service this morning of just talking about the attacks of the enemy, the way that the devil attacks people's lives, and the way that he attacks individuals, the way he attacks groups of people, and the way, obviously, that he's attacking God's good creation. We discovered in the service this morning a couple of ways that the devil is attacking. One of the ways that the devil attacks is through the temptations that he incites. That is, the temptations of the enemy. And that is that Jesus recognized the temptations of the enemy. That is, whenever he was being tempted to gratify himself, when he was being tempted to glorify himself, whenever he was tempted in the wilderness, he recognized that it was the devil who was tempting him. Many people go through life and they experience many temptations, many of which they yield to, without even recognizing that it is indeed the enemy, that is the devil and his demons, that are the ones who are behind that temptation and that are tempting us. He recognized the temptation that came when Peter spoke and tried to divert him from the way of the cross. And we find that he turned around, he rebuked him, and he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He recognized the words of Peter as being a temptation of the devil. The same is true in our lives as well. The devil is real. And he's trying to tempt us to gratify ourselves, to glorify ourselves. He's operating through a direct attack and direct temptation. He's operating through individuals and people, whether they're on your computer or whether they're on your television or whether they're looking at you face to face. He operates through people trying to tempt and draw you away from God and to try to divert you from the will of God for your life. And ladies and gentlemen, you and I need to recognize the temptations of the devil. Paul certainly did. And warned about the fact that of the temptations of the devil. Peter recognized that the devil is a tempter. James recognized that the devil is trying to entice us. That is, he is appealing to our lust and our desires and trying to tempt us. That is, you and I need to be aware of this is how the devil attacks. It is by attempting us, by luring and tempting us in the areas of our desires. The devil is operating in that manner. I'm just trying to get you to begin to recognize, begin to think about how the devil attacks. Not only do we find that he operates in the area of temptation, but we also looked a little bit this morning at the torment of the enemy. And that is, the devil not only attacks us through the temptations that he incites, but also the torment that he inflicts. As we wander through the Gospels, as we follow the life of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus, we discover that our Lord confronted demons that were tormenting individuals. Whether it be those who were tormented physically with physical diseases, or those who are tormented with physical self-destruction, who were destroying their own selves. Or whether it was those who were he was trying to destroy with physical death, but there were those who were experiencing physical torment, ladies and gentlemen, and some of the times, not every time, but some of the times, the reason why they were being tormented physically is because of the activity and the attack of the enemy, that is the devil. The devil is tormenting people physically. He is tormenting them emotionally and mentally. We discovered that Jesus ran into some people that were indeed mentally and emotionally tormented. And the reason why is because of the attack of the enemy. He also was indeed tormenting them eternally. Jesus warned about the eternal torment that the devil was trying to blind people to and drag them off into, that is, separated from God for all eternity. Hey, the apostles recognized the torment that the enemy was causing in people's lives, and they began to cast out demons in Acts 5. We find that Paul recognized the torment that the enemy was causing in lives, like the little slave girl that he cast the demon out of in Acts chapter number 16. Even the torment that he himself was experiencing, called a thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians 7, it was a messenger of Satan that was sent to him to buffet him and to torment him. I'm trying to get you to recognize that indeed the enemy attacks us in this area. That is, he is trying to torment people physically and mentally and emotionally and relationally in our relationship. He'll cause torment. Listen, in your family, if you'll let him do it. He is the one who is not only the tempter, but he is the tormentor. I want to say to you that one of the reasons why, not every reason, but one of the reasons why that there are those who are experiencing such torment in their life is because they are under spiritual attack. We need to recognize that tonight. That is, we need to recognize that he is not only the tempter, but he's also the tormentor. Well, that's from this morning. So I want you to think with me for a little while this evening. As you and I continue to try to recognize the attacks of the enemy, I want you to think about the tricks of the enemy. That is, we not only need to recognize the temptations of the enemy when he's tempting us, that is appealing to our desires and trying to draw us out and away from God. But not only do we need to recognize the torment of the enemy, that much of the torment that humanity experiences is the result of the attack of the devil and his demons, but also the tricks of the enemy. Listen, the devil not only attacks us through his temptations, and not only his torment, but also his tricks. And when I use the word tricks, I mean this. The devil is trying to trick you. I use the word tricks in the sense that the devil is trying to deceive you. One of the means by which the devil operates is through the means of deception. That is, the devil, he tries to deceive and trick humanity. He is the grand deceiver, ladies and gentlemen. He is the chief liar. He is the main deceiver. And I'm talking about the devil. He is a liar. And I'm trying to get you to see that Jesus recognized the tricks of the enemy. You and I need to learn how to recognize the tricks or the deception of the enemy. Jesus certainly did. As a matter of fact, it's in John's Gospel, chapter number 8, where our Lord exposed the old liar himself. And he exposed the fact that the Jewish leaders were indeed under attack and under the influence of the liar, that is, the great deceiver, that is, the devil himself. Here's what he said to them in a startling verse in John 8, verse 44. He said, "You are of your father, the devil." You see, their argument is that Abraham was their father, and therefore they're a part of the kingdom. And Jesus told them before, he said, "Listen, that's nothing to brag about. God could raise up children for Abraham out of the stones of the ground if he wanted to." He said, "It's not about Abraham being your father or your ancestor. I tell you who your real father is. It's the devil. And the reason why," he says, "is because you're acting just like him, like a child acts like their father. You're acting like the devil." He says, "The lust of your father you will do." In other words, the desires of your father, the desires of the devil, that's what you are doing. And then he reveals him. He says that he, the devil, was a murderer from the beginning. That is, the death began with the devil. It came into the world as a result of the fact that the devil tempted Adam and Eve and they sinned against God. He is a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth because, listen, there's not any truth in him. I'm going to say it again. Jesus said about the devil, there is no truth in him. Even if he says something is true, it's always sprinkled with a lie. Bible says when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father or the originator of it. Talking, of course, about the devil exposing him. The Bible says here from the very beginning, the devil has always been a murderer and a liar with regard to humanity. A murderer and a liar. Now when Jesus uses that little phrase in verse 44, from the beginning, he's reminding us of what the devil did in the beginning. Remember that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And you'll remember that after he created it, he made man. He took him and he formed him out of the dust of the earth and breathed into him his nostrils the breath of life. He took one of his ribs and made the woman and brought her to him. And there they are in the Garden of Eden. And I want to tell you that the Bible ends in chapter number 2 of Genesis with them being in the garden naked and not ashamed, which means that they are living in a perfect environment. There's no sin anywhere. And everything is perfect. They have the perfect relationship, a harmonious relationship. Everything is perfect in the garden. And then the Bible says, here he comes. That is the serpent. The Bible says that he is more subtle or more crafty or more deceptive than any other beast. Automatically now we see this serpent that we know, of course, is the devil in disguise. I'm going to remind you that the devil is not only a deceiver, but he is a disguiser. He always disguises himself. I'm trying to get you to recognize the tricks of the devil. He disguises himself. And he lies and he deceives. Why, back in Genesis chapter number 3, you'll read about what he did. This subtle, tricky snake that was in the Garden of Eden began to speak to Eve. The Bible says that he began to talk to her, and as he began to talk to her, he first of all began to cast doubt on the Word of God. Has God really said, you should not eat of every tree of the garden? Eve, did God really say that? Automatically now, where there ought to be an exclamation point, God did say that. But there now there's a question mark instead of an exclamation mark. In other words, instead of believing this book, the devil is questioning what God said to Adam when he said he could eat of all the trees except for that one there in the center of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The devil is already trying his tricky stuff, isn't he? He's trying to trick Eve, ladies and gentlemen. He's trying to trick her, first of all, by casting doubt on the Word of God. And the woman, she answered, here's what she said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it. We don't have any record of God saying that, but she thought he did. Neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the Bible says that the serpent replied to her, and here's what he said. He said, you shall not surely die. So he's not just now questioning the Word of God. He's not just casting doubt on the Word of God. He's actually denying what God said. Now God said, if you eat from that tree, you'll die. And he said, you'll not surely die. Here's the deal, Eve, and I'm going to paraphrase. The deal is, the reason why God told you not to eat from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it's not that you're going to die. No, what the real deal is that God knows that if you eat from that tree, that you're going to become wise like God. You're going to become like God, knowing good from evil. Eve, I'm telling you, God is holding something back from you by not allowing you to eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There's something good about that. Listen, if you eat that, you'll receive something that God hadn't provided for you. And you know what you can do? You can provide something for yourself that God didn't provide for you if you'll go ahead and eat from the fruit that is from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eve, you shouldn't be happy about this. There's more to life than what God has given to you. And it's right there in that fruit. Now, all of you know that the devil is lying to her, but I'm trying to get you to see how tricky he really is. He's tricky, he's sly, he's a liar and a deceiver. And I want to say to you that he still is today. He has not changed at all. He impressed her. That is, the devil must have called her attention to how beautiful that fruit was to look at. And that it was good to eat. And it was desired to make one wise, the Bible says. And so as a result of that, Eve went ahead and she ate the fruit. And the Bible tells us she did so because she was deceived by the devil. He tricked her. He lied to her. He set her up. And he deceived her, ladies and gentlemen. And she did what God said not to do. He is a deceiver. He is one who's trying to trick. He lies. He's still doing it today. I'm trying to get you to see that, listen to me now, I'm trying to get you to see how the devil attacks. He not only attacks through temptation, he not only attacks through the torment that he inflicts, but also by the tricks, that is, the lies that he tells. I tell you that the devil not only caused her to doubt the Word of God, but then he began to distort the Word of God, and then she disobeyed the Word of God. She ate from the fruit that God said not to eat from, and Jesus recognized that that is the way the devil operates. In John 8:44, he said, the devil, from the very beginning, he's always been a liar. He is the father of it. He operates and he attacks through tricks. That's how he does it. Trying to get you to see how the devil can operate in your life. You say, well, how will I know when I'm under attack? Listen to me now. If you'll allow God to grow you so that you become sensitive to the Spirit of God and aware, that is vigilant and aware of the attacks of the enemy, you'll be able to pick out when the devil is feeding you a lie. Now that lie may come from your television set, or it may come from your computer, or it may come from your friend at work. But I'll tell you, the devil will feed you with lie after lie after lie to try to trick you into some kind of response or action that will take you away from the will of God for your life. That's how he operates. He is a liar. And some of you are under attack. Already somebody's been feeding you some lies. Already you've been entertaining lies that the devil has been communicating through the world system around you, from the flesh within you, from the friends that you have, that is, from the people that you work with. Listen to me now. The devil's been feeding you some lies, and you've been entertaining them in your mind. You've been thinking about them. You've been mulling them over on the inside of you, so that already you're about to make a decision that is completely opposite of the will of God. He's trying to stir up a discontentment on the inside of you. He'll lie to you to stir up a discontentment on the inside of you, discontentment with what God has provided for you. I've sat down with couples before, husbands and wives who are about to break up, their marriage is about to fall apart. And as I sit there and talk with them, listen to me, as I sit there and talk with them, sometimes I become keenly aware of the lies of the enemy that they've been listening to, and they do not even know that they were under attack. Devil's been lying to them. And sometimes when I confront those lies right there, folks get a little bit upset. I've had them walk out on me. Yeah. Say, Pastor, surely not. Absolutely. Listen to me now. When you begin to expose him for what he is and the lies that he's communicating, sometimes it pulls the lid off of something. The devil is a liar and a deceiver, and he operates through the tricks and the lying and the deception that is present in our world. Listen, many of us are under attack right now because of the lies that are being fed to us all around us. It gets so saddened whenever a lot of our kids have to go into a school system where they're hearing a lot of lies, don't you? Listen, all the way from elementary through the universities today. A lot of lies about how the world began and the origins of humanity and who we are. It upsets my heart whenever I sit down with people and talk to them and find out there's been other people talking to them, been filling them full a lot of lies that aren't true, that aren't biblical. And I want to tell you, that's how the devil attacks. Listen, if you're being fed information that doesn't line up with this word, this truth, Paul is going to identify it for us in just a moment, what it is. It stems from a lying demon that's found an avenue to communicate that lie. As I said, through the world of communication that we live in, the information and technology that we have, the friends we have, the people sometimes that we're in communication with, and that is just like the devil communicated deception and tried to trick and trip our Lord up through even the Apostle Peter, who wrote these words. He's still doing the same thing. He indeed is one who's trying to trick. Jesus recognized the tricks of the enemy. He identified that experience in the beginning as being because of the lies of the devil. That is, the devil is one who is a liar or who's trying to trick us. Paul recognized the tricks of the enemy. Let me just read you a few verses here. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Listen to what it is that the Apostle Paul writes about the devil. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14, he says this: Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Jesus not only said that Eve believed the lie and was deceived, but Paul recognized that as well. That even Adam was not deceived. He knew exactly what he did whenever he ate from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But I'll tell you that the Bible says that Eve was deceived. That is, that she believed the lie and the tricking ways of the devil. And listen to me, he deceived Eve so that he ultimately could get to Adam. I'm going to say it again. The devil deceived Eve so he ultimately could get to Adam. And then all of humanity was plunged into sin and darkness and death. Let me say something to you. Those of you that are married, if you open yourself up to the lies of the devil not only will have an open door to attack your life, but that of your spouse. And he not only will have an open door to attack your spouse, but also your children, if you have children. And so it's so important for you and I to begin to recognize the lies and tricking ways of the devil. He is a deceiver and a liar. Paul recognized the tricks of the enemy. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You'll see Paul exposing it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 3. Paul writes, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, that is, in the same way the devil tricked Eve, through his subtlety, through his craftiness, through his deception, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. He was concerned about these Corinthians, that the devil was trying to trick them, just like he tricked Eve in the Garden of Eden. Just like he lied to her and deceived her, that the devil would lie to them and deceive them to draw them away doctrinally from the truth about the person and work of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you that, listen, the devil is doing that in our day. It not only was in Paul's day, but in our day, I'll tell you, the devil has found an avenue to preach doctrinal heresy and lies in our culture. And do you know that people by the millions in our culture are feeding on and believing demonic lies? Paul wrote about it in the book of 2 Thessalonians as well. Let's stay in 2 Corinthians 11 for just a moment. Look at verse 14. Here's what he says. Listen to these verses. He said, "Don't marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. "Don't be surprised. The devil himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great things if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose ends shall be according to their works." In other words, here's what Paul was writing about. He was writing about the devil and the servants or the ministers of the devil appearing as though they're angels of light. That is, that they're bringing the truth, when in reality what they're spreading is doctrinal lies and doctrinal heresy. Don't be surprised if his servants appear to be preaching righteousness whenever they're preaching that which is not true but a lie. Why, the devil himself transforms himself into an angel of light. You see how tricky he is. He'll make you think you're listening to the truth when you're listening to a lie. The devil and his demons are tricky. And they've found avenues to spread their lies, just like a lie was spread in the garden that Eve believed as well. Paul's just recognizing the tricks of the enemy, that the enemy is tricky. He is a liar and he is a deceiver. He disguises himself so that he appears to be an angel of light, a minister of light, a preacher of righteousness, when in reality he is not. Over in Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 11, when Paul was writing about the whole armor of God, he said you better put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. That little word wiles there is a word means the trickery, the deception of the devil. Listen, you better have your armor on because, listen, the enemy that we're facing is a tricky, he is a wily, tricky, lying, deceiving, disguising enemy. Over in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, the Apostle Paul said this about the devil and about his great servant who will come in the end, the Antichrist. He writes, 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 8, "And when that wicked be revealed," that is the Antichrist of the last days, "whom the Lord will consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him," notice, "whose coming is after the working of Satan." The Antichrist of the last days will come after the working of power of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. In other words, the Antichrist of the last days, who will be possessed by the devil, ladies and gentlemen, he will be a liar and a deceiver. Do you know that he will even purport to perform miracles in the last days? The Antichrist and the false prophet as a part of the deception. And all of humanity be deceived. Can you imagine all the world being deceived except for the few believers that are alive in that time period? That's what the Bible teaches us. John recognized this trick of the enemy in Revelation chapter number 12. Listen to what it says in verse number 9. The great dragon that was cast out, the old serpent, that is, the same old serpent down there in the Garden of Eden wrapped around that tree talking to Eve. That old serpent shows up at the end of the Bible in the book of Revelation. He's also referred to as a great dragon. It's the devil and Satan. And here's what it says about him, "which deceiveth the whole world." Do you know that in the last days the devil is going to go about and through his Antichrist and false prophet bring deception to the entire planet? That's what the Bible says here. Why in Revelation chapter number 20, listen to what it is that John writes to us in Revelation 20 in verse number 7. The Bible says, and when the 1,000 years are expired after Christ returns and reigns for 1,000 years, the Bible says Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. For that 1,000 years he's been bound in a bottomless pit, according to the first part of this book, this chapter. And the Bible says he'll be loosed and he'll go out to deceive the nations. I want to remind you that our Lord's been reigning on the planet now for 1,000 years. And the Bible says he's going to go out around and deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. The devil, still deceiving, even all the way at the end, even after Christ has reigned for 1,000 years. I'm just trying to get you to see when the devil attacks, how he does it, so you can recognize that he is a liar, a deceiver, and he is a tricker. Jesus recognized the tricks of the enemy. Paul recognized them. John recognized them. And listen to me now. If you'll be wise, you'll begin to recognize the lying tricks of the enemy. He's just as much a liar today as he always has been. He's just as deceptive, and he's got many avenues to communicate his lies, much more than ever before in the day that we live in. Because there's more people, there's more technology, there's more information. I'm talking about how the devil attacks. Listen to me. The devil is lying and deceiving today through the watered down messages being preached in churches. The messed up message of our culture. A message that promotes perversion. You say, Pastor, what is that? There's a liar behind that. The great deceiver. The message of our society is a message that promotes idolatry, that there is all kinds of gods, worship whatever god you want to, and they're all about the same anyway. That's idolatry. It is a message that promotes greed, and that is the ultimate dream for anybody, is to become wealthy. It's greed and covetousness. It's a message in our culture that calls evil good and good evil. Those who believe the Bible and stand on the Word of God have become evil, and those who disregard it and follow after their own carnal and fleshly and ungodly desires are now good. You say, what's behind what's going on in our culture? There's a deceiver at work, and he's lying. And many people are believing those lies. And if you're not careful, you'll get pulled off into some of his lies. If you and I are going to be able to live in victory over the attacks of the enemy, then we've got to learn to recognize the tricks of the enemy. How he's lying. That is the deception that he's spreading. And to be able to identify it. Now we're going to learn more about how to do that in other messages. But just for you to recognize, man, I need to know how to discern between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I need to be able to discern whether or not what I'm hearing is right or wrong. Listen, I need to be able to so know what this book says. See, the reason why that I need to be in Bible study and studying this book is because I know the devil will lie to me, and I won't know it if I don't know the truth. The best way to discern a lie is to know the truth. So I got to be in this book, so that I'll know what is true, so that then I'll be able to identify what is not true, that is, what is the lie of the enemy. I'm trying to get you to see how to recognize when you're under attack. When you're being fed a lie, and you're embracing it, then you are under attack. The attack of the enemy. That's right. The devil's attacking. He's operating and attacking through temptation. He's operating and attacking through torment. He's operating and attacking through the tricks or the deception that he's promoting. Notice with me also, fourthly, let's look at the traps of the enemy. The traps of the enemy. Many people who have been deceived by the tricks of the enemy and who have been drawn into the temptations of the enemy find themselves trapped by the enemy. Now I'm going to say that again because I want you to get a hold of it. Many people who have been deceived by the tricks of the enemy and who have been drawn into the temptations of the enemy find themselves now trapped by the enemy. Pastor, what do you mean? Trapped in a lifestyle. Trapped in a habit. Trapped in an addiction. Trapped in a sin. Trapped in a relationship they shouldn't be in. A religion that is ungodly and not preaching the truth. Trapped in an attitude. That is, they always have this attitude and they just believe that it's just them. Trapped with an attitude, trapped with an emotion. It may be the emotion of anger, it may be some other kind of emotion, but trapped on the inside, trapped by that emotion. It's dominating and controlling their life. Trapped with a mindset, a pattern of thinking, a way of thinking that they just simply cannot seem to break free from. They're trapped in something they cannot seem to break free from. They're trapped. The traps of the enemy. Now Jesus recognized the traps of the enemy for what they were. Over in Luke chapter number 4, there's an example of it. I'll show you a few here and then I'll close in just a little while. Some of you may be wondering if I'm going to get done here. I will, sooner or later. In Luke chapter number 4, in verse number 16, the Bible tells us there that, and he came to Nazareth, and there had been, where he had been brought up. This is his hometown, as his custom was. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he opened the book, he found the place where it is written. This is found in Isaiah 61, and Jesus reads from the book. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Now listen to this. Are you ready? "To preach deliverance to the captives." Jesus recognized that indeed there are those who are taken captive, that are trapped and that are taken captive, that need to be delivered. Ladies and gentlemen, he recognized that. He goes on and he continues to read from Isaiah, and then he sits down and he says, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." That is, he's identifying himself as the one, the promised Messiah, who has the Spirit of the Lord upon him, who has come to set the captives free, to bring deliverance to the captives. Jesus recognized that the enemy has been taking captives, trapping them. Jesus recognized the trap that the Jewish people were in. Over in John chapter number 8, let me show it to you. I'm just trying to get you to see that our Lord recognized this trap of the enemy. In John chapter number 8, a passage of scripture that many of you are familiar with, in verse number 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, here's what he said, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He says, if you'll continue to follow me and listen to me, you'll know the truth will set you free. Free from what? Why, they're a trap, folks. They need to be set free from a trap. And listen, they start arguing with him. They said, "We're Abraham's seed and we're not in bondage to anyone. So how can you say, Jesus, how can you say that we'll be made free?" And Jesus said that what you are in service to, that what you're trapped by is your sin. Whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. That's why he said, "I said to you that you'll be free." The truth of the matter is the devil is taking people captive. He's trapping them in sin. You say, "Pastor, are you sure about that?" Well, that's where you and I were at when the Lord found us. We were trapped in our sinful condition. The idea of trapping means you can't break free from it. Here's what I mean by that. You were a sinner when you came into this world. And when the Lord found you, and you could not do anything to break yourself free from your sinful condition, you were trapped in it. The reason why is because there's an enemy who came into the garden, deceived Eve. And listen, those who are deceived by him, those who yield to his temptations, find themselves trapped by him. And she, Eve, and now Adam, because he also ate, is trapped in sin and they cannot break free from it. And you and I, as descendants of Adam and Eve, are in the same trap. When you were born into this world, you were born into a trap. Trapped by sin. And you cannot break free from it. And that's why Christ had to come. So that we could be set free. Jesus recognized the trap that the Jewish people were in. Did you know that he recognized the trap that Judas Iscariot was in? Well, the Bible says at the end of John chapter number 6 that Jesus recognized Judas Iscariot. He said that he was a devil. He recognized the demonic impact and influence in the life of Judas Iscariot. That Judas was indeed a devil. That is, he was indeed influenced by demonic activity in his life. He was in the trap of the enemy. John chapter number 13, Jesus said before it ever happened, as he was with the disciples at the Last Supper, that one of you shall betray me. You say, did he know who he was? Sure, John was leaning up close to him in John 13 in the upper room, leaning up close to him, and Peter beckoned to John to ask the Lord who it was. And he told him, it's the one who, when I've dipped in the sop, will dip the sop with me. And Judas Iscariot did so. Jesus knew that Judas was in the trap of the enemy. Do you know the Bible says in John's Gospel that about that same time that Satan entered into him? And Jesus said to him, that that thou doest, do quickly. And he went out into the night. Jesus knew not only about the trap that the Jewish people were in, the trap of sin, but he also knew about the trap that Judas Iscariot was in, the trap of deception and betrayal. You say, why did he betray him? Well, he was acting just like the devil. He's a deceiver and a tricker. And you see that in Judas Iscariot. He was in a trap. Why, Jesus even recognized the trap that Peter was in. Peter stepped into a trap too, didn't he? Remember Luke 22 that we've dealt with on other occasions? Jesus said, Peter, you better listen to him. I'm paraphrasing Luke 22, beginning of verse 31. Jesus said, Peter, the devil has desired to sift you. To sift you. Now, I've prayed for you. I've interceded for you, and your faith is not going to fail. And when you get on the other side of this thing, strengthen your brethren. But he said, listen, the devil has you in a trap. Just like wheat is sifted, even so the devil is going to do some sifting on you as well. And Jesus, of course, is going to let him do it because he's going to use it to transform this man's life. But I tell you, Jesus recognized the trap that Peter was in. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see, and that is the devil lays traps to snare you. And you and I would be wise to recognize those traps. Jesus recognized the traps of the enemy. The trap that the Jewish people were in, the trap that Judas Iscariot was in, the trap that Peter was in. He saw it and he realized they were in a trap. We should be so wise. Not only did Jesus recognize the trap of the enemy, but Peter did as well. Remember when the Bible says that Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter number 5, remember whenever they went and sold their land? Remember that story, Ananias and Sapphira in the early New Testament church? They went and sold their land. Barnabas had sold his land and brought all of it and gave it to the apostles so that they could distribute the money among the people who had need. And so Ananias and Sapphira, they went and sold their land and they brought the money. But not all of it. They kept some of it for themselves. And the Bible tells us then when they brought the money, they made it look as though and said that they brought all of it. But in reality, they only brought part of it. And so they were lying. Now, who's that remind you of? Yeah. Well, we know who the father of lies is, don't we? You say, well, it's just a lie. It's not just a lie. They stepped right into the trap of the enemy. The devil fed them a lie. The devil was whispering in their ear and saying, listen, you don't have to tell anybody. You can make them think that you're giving it all, but keep some back for yourself. And here's what, listen, Peter recognized the trap they were in. That is the trap they had stepped in and snared. And you say, well, why didn't they just walk out of it? You didn't walk out of this trap. Peter said that Satan has filled your heart. Ananias walks in, he has this money in his hand, and Peter confronts him immediately. He immediately recognizes the trap of the enemy, and he says, Ananias, Satan has filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit. In just a few minutes, you're going to be dead. And the young men over there, see those young guys over there? See them sitting back over there? They're going to carry your body out in just a little while. And do you know that he fell down dead? You said, what was that all about? Peter recognized the trap they had stepped in. We would be so wise as to be able, like Peter, to recognize the traps of the enemy. Paul recognized the trap of the enemy. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2, the Bible says in verse number 24, the servant of the Lord must not strive. That is, if you're going to serve God, you can't be a fighter. But you have to be gentle to all men, and you have to be apt or ready to teach. You have to be patient. And then he says in meekness, you have to instruct those that oppose themselves, those that are destroying themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. In other words, there are people that are destroying themselves, and those who are real servants of God have to patiently and meekly share the truth with them so that maybe God will bring them to the point of repentance, to the point of acknowledging the truth. And then he says in verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Let me say that again, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. In other words, Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, there are people that have been taken captive by the devil. They are trapped by him and they cannot get out. And what you need to do is patiently and with great meekness speak the truth to them so that maybe God will do a work in them to bring them to the acknowledgement of the truth and to the point of repentance so that they might be delivered from the snare or the trap of the devil. Paul recognized how the devil operates. He traps people in sin and ungodliness and wickedness in such a way that they cannot break free from it without the help of men of God like Paul, so that they can be recovered from the snare of the devil. Paul recognized the trap of the enemy. He recognized the trap of darkness. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? In Acts chapter number 26, Paul was telling his testimony. And as he was sharing his testimony, he said that when God spoke to him, the Lord Jesus spoke about his conversion, that his purpose was to turn those who were in darkness to the light. Trapped in darkness and cannot get out. We'll say it again. The condition of lost humanity under the influence of the God of the age is that we are trapped in darkness, in sin, and the consequences of sin, we're trapped in darkness. And we cannot get out. That's why Christ, the light of the world, had to come. That's why Paul had to go with the gospel. That's why we're a New Testament church, to share the light of the gospel. Because folks are trapped in darkness. Do you know that Paul also recognized the trap of deception? Over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, he was writing about how the devil operates. And here's what he said in verse number 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. That is, the gospel hidden from the lost. Listen now, in whom the god of this world, or the devil, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, Paul recognized not only the trap of darkness that lost humanity is in, but the trap of deception. And that is that the devil is trying to blind people's minds to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's trying to trap them in deception so that they will not understand, nor will they perceive the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's trying to so deceive them. Now listen, the devil's still doing the same thing today. He's trying to trap individuals in such darkness and deception that they never really grab a hold of the gospel, never really sense their need for the gospel. Do you know that there are people that are traveling through life right now who live around us, maybe in your family, I know they're in our community, that have no sense of their need for the gospel of Jesus Christ because they are in a trap of darkness and deception and they cannot break free from it without the gospel, without help. He recognized the trap of darkness and deception. Here in 2 Corinthians, notice chapter number 10. The Bible says in chapter number 10 and verse 3 that though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That little phrase, strongholds. A stronghold is an area that's been trapped by the enemy. An area that's been conquered and trapped by the enemy. And we find that he says that we need to pull them down. Here's how we do it. By casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, the Apostle Paul recognized the deception that the devil operates through so that there is this knowledge that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That it is lies, that is in contradiction to the Word of God and the truth of God. And he says it is strongholds. In other words, these are areas trapped by the enemy. It is the trap of deception. And that trap must be torn down. That is, with the teaching and the preaching and the presentation of the truth of the Word of God and bringing every thought into captive, into obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, so that folks can believe what is right and think what is right. That's the idea here. Paul is exposing the traps of the enemy. There's the trap of darkness that humanity is in. There's the trap of deception that he exposes here in 2 Corinthians. There's the trap of disobedience. Why, in Ephesians chapter number 2, listen to what Paul writes about our life before conversion. Ephesians chapter number 6. Excuse me, chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Verse number 2. Here's what our life was like before conversion. In times past, you walked according to the course of this world. Listen to this. According to the prince of the power of the air. Before you got saved, you lived like the world and you were under the influence of the devil and his demons, the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You say, Pastor, what is that talking about? It means this. That means lost humanity is not only trapped in darkness, is not only trapped in deception, but is trapped in disobedience. That is that we are children of wrath and children of disobedience. That is that you and I are disobedient to God and we are trapped in our disobedience. You say, Pastor, I'm going to start obeying God. You're not going to do it. You're trapped in disobedience. You say, I'll start doing better. You're not any better. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul recognizes in Romans 7, they said, in my flesh there's not anything that's good. We are not obedient. We will never be obedient. We are trapped in a life of disobedience. The only one who's ever obeyed is our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why God sent His Son. That's why He had to come and live that life of complete obedience and go to the cross and die for us on the cross. Listen, the reason why is because we're trapped in disobedience, ladies and gentlemen. And the only way to ever be set free is by the grace and mercy of God in Christ. When God saves you, then, ladies and gentlemen, then your sin is forgiven. He indwells you and you can begin to live a life of obedience to Him. But before that, you are in a trap. You say, but what about all the good things that those who are lost do? It's filthy rags in the sight of a holy God, according to the book of Isaiah. We are disobedient from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. We're trapped in disobedience. Trapped in darkness, trapped in deception, trapped in disobedience, and then he mentions the trap of death. The trap of death. In Hebrews chapter number 2, Paul was writing and he talked about how that Jesus took upon himself human flesh so that he could come and die for us, so that those of us who were in bondage to death might be set free from him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Hebrews 2 verses 14 and 15. Jesus did that for us. Did you know that you and I were trapped by death? You've said it, haven't you? The moment you come into this world, you start to die, don't you? On your way to death. And one of these days, listen to me now, one of these days, every person in this room, the Lord tarries, is going to take their last breath and is going to die. You say, well, I don't want to, but you don't have any, it doesn't matter if you want to or not. You're trapped. Just like we're trapped in darkness. And listen, just like we're trapped in deception. And just like we're trapped in disobedience, we are in the trap of death. We are going to die. The Bible describes the devil as the one who has the power of death. That Jesus had to come and defeat him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Death came as a result of Adam and Eve's sin, that came as a result of the deception, the lying, tricking of the devil. Adam and Eve sinned against God. You know, listen to me now. The very moment they sinned against God, they found themselves in a trap. A trap of darkness. A trap of deception. They've been deceived. A trap of disobedience. and a trap of death. And 900 years later, that man Adam took his last breath and he died. Trap of death. I'm trying to get you to see how the devil operates. That is, his purpose is to trap. That is, those who are deceived by his tricks, drawn into his temptations, are trapped by the enemy. I'm preaching this to you so that you can begin to recognize maybe some traps you've stepped into. Traps of the enemy. And the reason why we need to recognize them, ladies and gentlemen, is so that if we've stepped into a trap, that we can be set free from it. That's right. Listen to me now. That's why Jesus came. That's why he died on the cross. That's why his blood was shed. That's the reason why that he did what he did, is because you and I, trapped by the enemy, can only be set free by him. There's a word that we use to for that. We call it redemption, don't we? To be set free. He paid the price so that we who were trapped might be set free. And indeed, listen to me now, if you find yourself trapped, there's somebody who can set you free. And his name is Jesus. Amen. He can set you free. If you're lost, you've never been saved, and you're trapped by your sin, you're trapped in sin and on the way to a devil's hell. Listen to me now. If you're trapped, you say, Pastor, I don't know what to do. You can't do anything about it. You're in a trap. Here's good news. Christ came and did it for you. Paid the price, died for you on the cross. Listen to me. He did everything that needs to be done for you to be saved. You say, well, Pastor, how do I need to respond? You need to turn to Christ tonight. Abandon your old sinful self, turn to Christ and surrender to him and trust in what he did for you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. But you might be here and you're already saved. But I tell you, there's some areas of your life where the devil has tempted and you've yielded. There's some areas of your life where the devil has tricked and you've bitten. That's right, like Eve did. And you find yourself trapped in a habit of sin, an air of ungodliness, an attitude, whatever it might be that you know is not right, but you're trapped in it. Listen to me now. The one who saved you and set you free can continue to set you free from whatever it is that you're trapped in. And listen to me. If you're trying to walk with God and you want to be victorious in your life, then you need to start letting the Holy Spirit begin to demonstrate to you and show you the traps that the enemy is laying. He's trying to trap you. There are many people, because of their disobedience to God, are trapped in debt that they can't get out of. There are many people, because of their disobedience to God, are trapped in a habit they don't seem to be able to break free from. There are many people, because of their disobedience to God, are trapped in a sin that they keep committing over and over again. A stronghold in your life, an area where the devil has trapped you in your Christian life. Listen to me now. You have a Savior who can set you free. Amen. You can resist the devil and get victory, and he can recover you from the snare of the devil. The first step is recognizing the trap that you're in. We've got an enemy. He's on the attack. On the attack. You need to recognize the temptations of the enemy. Listen to me. You need to recognize the torment that he's causing, the tricks that he's using, and the traps that he's laying. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would operate on our hearts tonight. You'd do a work on the inside of us. Father, I pray that the Spirit of God would help us, that you would pull the cover back off of those areas of our life that you want to speak to and deal with tonight. Pray for those who are here that are lost. God, that you'd save them. God, I pray, Father, for your people, that God, you'd help us to walk in liberty and freedom. God, not in snare, not in lies, not in deception. And we're going to give you the praise for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.